right, welcome back. Let's go over to Ireland and talk to Father Paul Kramer and get his impressions of the election and certainly of these cabinet appointments. We don't know if they're going to be confirmed, but most of them will be. That's the way it works. And find out if the Vatican had any real meaningful comments about the election. They put out the usual stuff, I'm sure. Father Kramer, hello. Welcome back. How are you over there? Everything okay?
Yes, everything's well with me, yes.
Good, good, very good. All right, so let's hear it. What do you think? How did it come across to you?
Well, I know that Bergoglio is not favorable about Trump. He prefers someone more communist. We can recall that it was the Obama regime that was, to a great extent, responsible for the coup d'état in the Vatican that Benedict basically demoted into retirement and replaced with this Argentinian imposter.
Well, poor Benedict, he got locked up basically in solitary or nearly for the rest of his life in the Vatican. 9 years.
Yeah. And just when some semblance of order was beginning to reappear in the church, then the revolution initiated by the Second Vatican Council was consummated by Bergoglio just this last October. And most Catholics do not understand. The revolution is over. It has been completed. Like with the Soviet Union, you had the old social order. You had the war going on. The Bolsheviks were making their war. You didn't have communism during the revolution. It's when the revolution ended, that's when communism was implemented. And the same thing is happening now in the church. What's happening now? The Vatican has just approved of a paganized, de-Christianized so-called mass, the Mayan rite, and it has some pagan elements in it already. You can already see where this is leading.
Uh-huh.
And this revolution in ecclesiastical affairs came about because you had Obama, Hillary Clinton, those people who were involved in getting rid of Benedict and getting him replaced with someone who's more favorable to their mentality, to their ideology. And that man is Bergoglio. So now that the revolution is over, it's being implemented. Now the revolutionary agenda is being implemented. So naturally, Bergoglio is not going to be too favorable with Trump because the ones who were largely responsible from the other side of the ocean to get him into power have just been voted out. And I even hear reports to the effect that the Obama period is over in American politics. Well, I hope it's true.
Did you say you have seen reports suggesting that that is the case?
I have seen one, but I didn't. Unfortunately, didn't have the time to read it at the time, so I still need to examine the report. But basically, yeah, the claim is already being made that the Obama period is over.
Interesting. Well, there's been a major shift in Washington. There's no question that the great majority of people involved directly with the Trump-planned administration are Zionist. Many of them rabid, hardcore Zionists, like Mike Huckabee, just appointed ambassador to Israel by Trump. That guy is a Christian Zionist, and he'll go over there and he will support the slaughter of humankind, the genocide in Gaza, and probably West Bank to come. And I still say that Trump, any money he allows to go over there, makes him 100% culpable as being a factor in the genocide of men, women, and children by the tens and hundreds of thousands. It's just wrong. It's evil. That's my take. Yeah. Please tell me yours.
Bringing all these Zionists into power in the Trump administration, this is the Achilles heel in Trump's agenda to make America great again. This is going to be the undoing of the USA.
You're totally correct. You've said it perfectly. Are you seeing it from over there, the amount of Zionism that has been obviously descended on Trump immediately and began to tell him who to appoint for this and who to appoint for that? These are not his own decisions. I don't believe it. Maybe in the end, they'll say, well, what do you think, Don? And he'll know, he'll read the writing on the wall, and he'll say, well, I approve. Go ahead and name that person and make it public. Zionism is going to tear this country down. You're correct.
The same thing happened with Ronald Reagan. He wasn't the one who made the appointments, and many of the appointments he made were not the kind of people he wanted. Like
that's correct.
Henry Kissinger was not his choice.
Well, go back to 2016. Trump wasn't happy with most of his appointments. At least that's the way it looked. A lot of them got fired. A lot of them quit. They were terrible appointments. So now we have, without any question, a hardcore ring of uber-Zionists all around Trump, who's a Zionist in his own right. So we have here in the U.S., formerly U.S., a Zog situation. A Zionist-occupied government. That's what's coming. Unprecedented in its intensity and its thoroughness of control. That's how it looks to me. I'm interested, though, that you can see it over there, the Zionist aspect of what's going on. You can see that. It's in the media over there?
Well, alternative media. You don't say, I don't follow the mainstream media anymore. It's such a joke.
Oh, it's like terrible. Yes.
It's like awful. Soviet press.
Yeah. That's fair. That's very fair. Yeah, anybody who watches the mainstream media is out of the game. They're not a factor. They're brainwashed. That's not news. It's propaganda. We've been turned into a Pavlovian society of reactive thinking, useless eaters in many, many cases. Not all. But hell, we only have 2,750,000 popular votes difference between Trump and the camel, the communist camel. 750,000 votes difference between the two. That's almost a razor's edge. The country's split in half. These people are not going to reconcile on either side. I don't see it. I see nothing but strife and turbulence, and I think there are going to be some very volatile things happen here before we get to the swearing-in date. I can't guess what they may be, but I think there are some very shocking things being planned and about to be deployed anytime.
Well, I think that to use the old vocabulary of the communists, their idea is to create a revolutionary situation. That's their strategy, to create a revolutionary situation. And that's why the powers that be allowed Trump to win the election, because already you see what direction things are going to be going in. When the mainstream media is talking about him being an authoritarian, as if he's going to be a dictator. What does this mean? Well, it means that they're going to create such upheavals that Trump is going to have to act in a decisive manner, and then they're going to really be screaming at him for being a dictator.
That's fair enough. Yeah. So what do your friends say to you? You have a friend here and a friend there. What are they saying to you about what happened in the U.S. And honestly, it doesn't take a genius to look at this situation and understand that there's a very virulent geopolitical philosophy involved called Zionism that is forcing the United States to get on its knees to the Zionist state of Israel. And they're going to continue with their genocide. They want a war with Iran, which could lead to a thermonuclear war, depending upon Putin and how he responds to his already signed agreements with Iran to provide some kind of security for them, should they be attacked. This is all on the table now.
Well, here in Ireland, there is generally more awareness of the Zionist problem in the world and in the United States in particular. So the comments I'm hearing are pointing out this problem that exists after the recent election, that the Zionism problem is still there.
It's only becoming more intense all the time. It's painfully obvious who is running the government in Washington.
And
not the American citizenry.
This is not the way the Republic was designed to be. I had a friend.
No way.
An American friend that I used to work with back in the 90s. His name was Morse. He was a great nephew of Samuel Morse.
Interesting. And
one of his ancestors during the Civil War was present at the Gettysburg Address. And so when Lincoln was speaking, Abraham Lincoln, he spoke about the Republican experiment that was brought about by the Founding Fathers, and he pronounced it with the inflection and the emphasis and the way I'm going to say it now, that it is to be a government of the people, by the people and for the people, with the emphasis on people, not the way you hear it in school, of the people, for the people, by the people. No, it was of the people, for the people, by the people. That's a republic. That's what a republic is supposed to be. And in order to have a republic, as the late Chief Justice of the Philippine Supreme Court, Roberto Concepcion, wrote in a book that a book of his essays, that for a republic to survive and to thrive, citizens have to have a high educational level. People have to be well educated and have high moral standards, and that's the only way a republic can survive. I think it was
high moral standards. Yeah. Sounds good.
Alex,
let's run it up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes. I don't know.
I think it was Alex de Tocqueville, the French writer, I think, who said, America is great because America is good, but when America ceases to be good, it will cease to be great.
Oh, he nailed it. Amen. Yep. That's where we are now.
And so if Trump wants America to be great again, he's got to scrap this Zionist agenda, because that's not good.
He's already said in a speech, make Israel great again. And then he said as an addendum, and make America great again too. The guy is completely owned. Miriam Adelson, the widow of the former casino magnate, gave Donald Trump $250 million with his promise that he would deliver the West Bank to her, that he would allow the Jews to do anything they want to take the West Bank. And that's what they're planning to do. So the whole West Bank was sold for $250 million. Watch it happen. Watch what happens. All of you, you'll see. This is really not... Father Kramer, everywhere you look now in the Western world, there's crisis, grief, consternation, fear, subterfuge, crime, bribery, blackmail, criminality, all over the place. It's not a good situation.
There are Jews and Jewish scholars and Jewish rabbis who are very much aware of the fact that this Zionism is not authentically Jewish, that it's against the very principles of Judaism. This Zionism is an aberration, even from a more traditional Orthodox Jewish point of view. And I listen to rabbis talk about this. I listen to rabbis give speeches and lectures about this. This is going to be the undoing of Israel itself. And there is an old prophecy about Israel. Around 1975, in the Italian language, I found a pamphlet that had a pamphlet with the prophecies of Saint Caesarius of Arles. Now, he lived in the first millennium. He presided over the Council of Orange. It was a regional council that was ratified by the Pope afterward. So the doctrine adopted by that council became church doctrine, which was basically canonizing the doctrine of grace of Saint Augustine. He was an important figure in his day. Well, he wrote down prophecies going century by century until the end of the world. And after the prophecy of the First and Second World War, the very next one is that Israel will commit such a great crime that it merits to be destroyed. Now, I read this in 1975 in a hard copy printed edition in the Italian language. When I went online to search for the original Latin text of the prophecies, I found an internet version of it, except that one line about Israel was deleted. That's removed.
How funny. Okay. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either, because I remember when David Ben-Gurion gave an interview that appeared in, I believe it was Look magazine, I think it was January 16th, 1962 edition, if my memory is correct.
A memory. Wow. All right.
Now, I remember reading the interview, and I found references to it in other in articles. I found a photocopy edition of it. I wanted to get my hands on the hard copy. I went to a public library, and they had all the back copies going back decades. And 1962, the one issue of that magazine that was missing was that one.
Okay, let me tell you a story that will kind of dovetail with that. When I was at the university studying, I got to study things that weren't necessarily in the classroom, but I was studying World War II history and so forth. And I learned back then, I was in my early 20s, and I remember learning that Hitler was Man of the Year on the cover of Time magazine. Three times. One of them was a very nice-looking portrait. It was all done with drawings back then, but it was very nice-looking. Looked like a painting. Maybe it was a painting. Anyway, that's the particular cover of Time magazine I was looking for. I believe it was 38. And in the entire library, All the Time Magazine archives, to the best of my ability, were all there, except this one copy. I think that they went around to all the public libraries that had stockpiles of old Time magazines and took them all. I think they got rid of them because they weren't there. To this day, I've never seen one for sale yet, that particular issue. I'm sure there are some. If any of you have any old Time magazines with Hitler on the cover in 1938, I think it was, wearing his typical outfit with the belt and then the part that goes across your shoulder and down to the waist, he was dressed up. Anyway, that was gone. So I'm not surprised what you tell me. They have an easy time of sending agents out to public libraries to remove certain offensive materials. And I think they probably did in your case, and I suspect they did in mine.
Well, in that Ben-Gurion interview, and I quoted it in my books, in that Ben-Gurion interview, the then head of state of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, was explaining that there's going to be a one-world government, a one-world republic. And he said that that the Jews are going to be ruling. Going to be a Jewish-controlled global state. He said
that's
it.
That's right.
This is his own words.
I believe you. That's exactly where we're headed. And see how else I can look at it. All the facts are there. All the indicators are there. All the pointers are there. That's where it's going.
So he said the Israelites are going to pronounce judgments on the nations.
The world. Right. And don't forget that there in Ukraine, I've mentioned many times, there are a group of very powerful Jewish oligarchs, just as there are in Russia today. And they wield an awful lot of power and influence in that country, in both countries, but especially in Russia. And it is said that that is one reason why Zelensky is still alive, because the Russian Jewish oligarchs told Putin, don't kill him, don't do it. And so he didn't. They could have taken him out anytime they want. They still can. But it's not being done.
When I was in Moscow, this is 21 years ago, I remember it was pointed out to me by a Muscovite. I was near to Dzerzhinsky Square, where you had the Lubyanka.
Okay.
And up on the hill behind the Lubyanka, there was the synagogue. And then you could also see from there two very high-rise apartment buildings. And it was pointed out to me that it is in those two high-rises where the oligarchs have their luxury apartments in Moscow, because they have to regularly come to Moscow. They always have business to do with the government. So wherever they are in Russia or out or abroad, they would come to stay in those high-rise apartments, the luxury apartments that were theirs. And it was explained to me, they are all Jews.
I'm not surprised in the least. Yeah, I get it.
These are all billionaire oligarchs, Russian billionaire oligarchs, and they are all Jews.
Correct. That's my understanding of it, too. And who ran the entire Nuremberg show trials? Jews. It was a complete Jewish production. Nuremberg. Go look it up. Look at the names. I've done it. They're all the same people. It's the same old people. Same group of people. Always involved with anything of any substance or significance. They're there. I don't know that there's going to be a satisfactory outcome to this Zionist crisis. I think America will go the way that they want it to go. I think that we will have a Zionist-occupied government, unlike any we've had before, and we have had them before. I think this is going to be the granddaddy of all of them. Trump, right on down. They're all Zionists, or certainly Israeli supporters. How's that? And then we have in this country, I don't know if you know, but about 45 million Christian Zionists who believe fully in the myth of the chosen and all the rest of it that goes along with it. So we have it here. Only 6 million in this country, and look at the influence, look at the control. Only 13 million in the whole world, and look at the control. It is what it is. I'm not making this up. And I guess you can, again, I've done it before. I tip my hat to them. What they pulled off is astonishing. That little tiny group of people has literally wrested control of much of the entire world from the normal people who used to run it. They're running it now.
The blind Christian Zionists are going to have their eyes open when it's too late. Their eyes will be opened when Operation Pogo is succeeded by Operation Zephyr.
Tell me about Zephyr. I've heard of it. Z-E-P-H-Y-R, I believe. Zephyr. E on the end, maybe.
Yeah, P-H-I. Anyways, what when the information gathering phase is succeeded by the rounding up and internment. That's Operation Zephyr. And you can see with all the proliferation of social media, this is all being done for the for the information gathering. It's going to be used for intelligence purposes, like the KGB, who were spying on the domestic population of the Soviet Union, and that's how they plan on putting Americans into the U.S. gulag. It's the same regime that's going to be in place.
I agree. Sitting back watching this is really something when you think about it in terms of what's going on, and 0.2% of the world population. Some say 0.02%. I'm not sure, but it's a damn small number. And look at the influence.
So the United States has been Sovietized.
Fair enough. No argument here.
The European Union has become exactly, and increasingly more, but has already become what Gorbachev called the new European Soviet.
So well, the new European Soviet here, or Tel Aviv West in Washington, D.C.,
so as much as the Zionist press will deny and call it, say it's a lie, it's a conspiracy theory, and it's a right-wing lie that David Ben-Gurion ever said that, and that's why they made sure that those magazines were removed from the public libraries where that interview was there. It was hard copy, hard evidence, documentary proof that, yes, he did indeed say those things. Let's look at how that agenda has been implemented. Since 1962, how many decades have passed, and we can see it's turning into a reality. The global state, the global Zionist state is becoming a reality.
You know who knew all this was coming? Joseph P. Kennedy, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. John Kennedy was fighting verbally with Ben-Gurion over the inspections at Dimona. Kennedy said, we will inspect, International Atomic Energy Association inspectors will inspect Dimona. Ben-Gurion said, no, you won't. And there was the big problem. And we think that's probably what caused John Kennedy to be Kennedy to be killed. We think it was Ben-Gurion, the Mossad. They wanted to go nuclear, and Kennedy didn't want them to go nuclear. But they did, and look where they are now, with the Samson option, for goodness sakes. So well, when you mentioned Ben-Gurion, I always wince. Go ahead.
This brings me back. This brings us back to something we discussed earlier. Now, remember this character named Jack Ruby,
sure.
Jacob Rubenstein, to be more precise, was his name. Jacob Rubenstein. He was an underling of Mayor Lansky. He was also a close associate of Mickey Cohen, who was. One of Lansky's men in Los Angeles.
He was the boss, yeah.
So
in L.A.
Rubenstein, Jack Ruby, was closely associated with both of these men. And when Menachem Begin was in the United States laying low for a while, he stayed with Mickey Cohen in Los Angeles.
Oh, how interesting.
And again, so there you have Menachem Begin staying with Mickey Cohen, and Mickey Cohen is closely associated with Jack Ruby, Jacob Rubenstein.
Well,
now, Mayor Lansky,
there you go.
Mayor Lansky, of course, was a collaborator with the Mossad. And we all know that anyone who has researched the Kennedy assassination knows that there was a great deal of mafia involvement. There was mafia involvement. There was also CIA involvement. George Bush Sr. Bush and Nixon were kind of associated at that time. And oddly enough, Everyone remembers where they were on the day that Kennedy was assassinated, but two men were on record for saying they didn't remember where they were that day. One was Richard Nixon, and the other was George Bush. And the involvement of the CIA and Bush, I think, has been rather well documented. In that
rather
case.
Well, indeed. Yes, it has.
And so you have the CIA involvement, you have the mafia involvement, and you had
Mossad.
John Rosselli even claiming that he fired the shot that killed Kennedy, and he knew something he couldn't possibly have known unless he was there.
Who is this again, please? John?
John Rosselli. Johnny Rosselli.
Oh, Johnny Rosselli. Now, wait. Hold on. Did Johnny Rosselli claim he was the shooter or one of them?
Yes. He claimed that he shot the kill shot that hit Kennedy from the front, that he was in the drain, that he lifted his head.
He was in the sewer, the drain, the street drain. Okay.
The sewage drain. He lifted his head up and fired the shot. And sure enough, the shot fired from the front had that angle. It was shot from street level. It was not
from the grassy knoll. It didn't come down from the book depository or the knoll. I understood.
That's right. And that was like 2014, I think, when the scientific investigation was carried out. I would say a forensic examination was carried out that was able to establish that was the angle of the bullet. And
uh-huh.
I remember having read decades earlier that Rosselli had made that claim. Or rather, that decades earlier, Rosselli had made that claim. So,
he ended up, as we all know, in a 55-gallon drum found floating, I believe, in the Florida harbor somewhere down there. Anyway, he used to hang out at the Desert Inn in Las Vegas all the time, Johnny Rosselli.
Well, Jack Ruby was the handler of one of the handlers of Lee Harvey Oswald, uh-huh. And Oswald had to be silenced because he was going to spill the beans. Oswald was not on the sixth floor of the school depository building when the shots were fired. He was down in the cafeteria eating, and then he went up to the second floor canteen, and he was shortly after the shots were fired, and there was a police detective who came in and found Oswald there on the second floor, not sweating or anything, not in any kind of state of excitement, very calm, just
no stress. Yeah, he was just normal, yeah. Normal.
And there was a woman who worked on the fourth floor, and her office was just opposite the stairway, where she can see everyone going up and down the stairs. And she said there was no one on the sixth floor, no one.
Got it.
So that so-called crow's nest on the sixth floor was set up in advance. The rifle was packed away in storage. That was all prearranged so that they could say that Oswald had fired a shot from there. Oswald did say, one of the last things he said before he was himself snuffed by Jack Ruby was that he said, "I am a patsy," and he said he didn't shoot anyone.
I remember this.
He did not shoot Kennedy. He was in that movie theater when that police officer Tippett was shot. He didn't shoot anyone. The no. whole thing was planned. He was the one that he was the fall guy that they were going to make. They were going to blame it on him.
Here's another rumor about J.D. Tippett. He looked very much like John Kennedy, and there is a suggestion that he was shot and his body was actually used as a prop to deflect the actual body of Kennedy from being shipped directly where it was supposed to. There's a lot going on here, but J.D. Tippett wasn't killed by Oswald, and he looked like John Kennedy. It was a strange resemblance, uncanny. You can look it up and see online.
And there is this direct connection. You have Mossad, Mayor Lansky, and Mickey Cohen, Jack Ruby, Oswald. There it is. You have the deathbed confession of E. Howard Hunt.
Yeah. Yes, he did. I remember.
CIA asset. Mafia. The Mafia, CIA, with the Zionist connection in a Kennedy assassination. It's rather clear. The picture gets very clear as to what really happened and why all of the documentation had to be kept hidden for 75 years.
I don't think you're going to see Donald Trump release anything. They won't let. It's still too soon. They're not going to let it out yet. See, Meyer Lansky had a girlfriend named Judith Exner. Well, that same Judy Exner was apparently having an affair with John Kennedy at the same time. Or virtually the same time. So there was there's so many angles to this. It's really nutty when you think about it. And if you study it, it's kind of one of those really great journeys that'll take you a long way through a lot of history and a lot of interesting people. I recommend Jim Marr's book, Crossfire, as probably the ultimate. There's no better book out there on the JFK assassination. Jim researched it for 53 years and updated the book just about 2 years, a year to two before he passed. So that's a great book, Crossfire, All right, let's jump back to the Trump regime coming in. If Bergoglio doesn't like Trump, and I understand why he wouldn't, what is the disposition of the Vatican going to be? What are you expecting in the next, 6 months? Are they going to take any kind of a stance on this, a public stance? Or are they going to just be quiet and keep it cool?
Bergoglio, we know from his own past history, he throws his occasional barbs against people like Trump. So I think he will continue to do the same, but I don't think we're going to see too much. He's not going to become really hyper in his attacks on Trump, because he's got his own coup d'etat and revolution have taken place. Now his main concern is to implement the agenda of his revolution, which is now complete. Catholics have no idea, most of them, very few.
What's coming?
Yes, they have no idea that this organization in the Vatican is not the Catholic Church. It is a new and different church. It is something that has been created by Bergoglio and his gang. They call it the Synodal Church. They have a reformed version of the papacy. It's not the Catholic papacy that we have in Rome anymore. The papacy in Rome is a modified, reformed kind of papacy that is not of the apostolic institution. Bergoglio is not what Catholics would call the successor of St. Peter, because the successor of St. Peter has authority. He has a monarchical authority over the whole church. That's called the primacy, which is a full and supreme jurisdiction. And that's an article of faith in the Catholic Church. It is a full and supreme jurisdiction. It consists of a total fullness of supreme power. Whereas the Bergoglian papacy, the modified primacy, which is a different kind of primacy, is a limited primacy. Hmm. Whereas it's now it has been synodally determined and ratified, rubber stamped by Bergoglio, that the Pope can only exercise his primacy synodally, which means he has to heed the advice, recommendations, etc., that are coming from the groups and bodies, what I call the Soviets, the councils, right, and synods, the councils and synods and conferences, committees, that they have to be listened to, and their recommendations have to be carried out according to the principles of synodality. That's what at the Second Vatican Council what they were calling collegiality. Mm-hmm. And there was a explanatory note that was put in the documentation of the council that a disclaimer against that idea of collegiality, which has now become radicalized in the synodality of Bergoglio and his regime. Mm-hmm. So they have created a new counterfeit church by founding it on a counterfeit papacy, which is not the papacy of the Catholic Church. It is a different kind. It is essentially a different kind of papacy, the kind of a papacy which cannot exist in the Catholic Church. So that people think that these are changes taking place in the Catholic Church. They are not.
Right.
You have an unchangeable apostolic divine constitution of the church, which cannot be changed. And if someone attempts to change it, all they can do is effectively and actually create a different church. And Bergoglio did say, he did admit this a few years ago, that the his synodal church will be a different church. It certainly is a different church.
Who's going to blow this thing wide open with a book or something? Can you get together with four or five others of your stature and hold a news conference or something and do something to put this out in front of 1.3 billion Catholics? That there's a group now who is calling out the fraud in the Vatican?
There is a growing awareness. More and more bishops, more and more priests, bishops, and many informed lay people who are becoming aware of this, and they are speaking out. I see reports every day, practically. I see reports of bishops now, individual bishops giving warnings about
Good.
Is going to destroy the Catholic Church.
Good. What about my idea of getting half a dozen of you together, Archbishop Vigano, et cetera, you all could pick your own people, but to hold an international news conference and paint this picture of what is going on here for the masses in real-time international video. And then it would go on to many other lifetimes. But I think this needs to be stated formally.
I think something like this is going to be happening. Something like that is going to be happening soon, because now that the synod is complete, the working groups, the study groups, whatever they call them, these committees, or what they called in the French Revolution, they called them the directories. These directories, these committees, are drawing up documents, recommendations that are going to be rubber stamped and implemented by the Bergoglian Vatican. They're going to be so radical that it will not be the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church will not be recognizable in this new synodal church. They've already started. It was just I just read today they have just approved of a paganized ritual, which is called the Mayan Mass, the Mayan Rite of Mass.
I can't. They're actually using the term Mayan on this. That's very interesting. They're not holding anything back.
And there are pagan elements in this so-called liturgy. That's the blueprint for the whole world. And there's this pagan Mother Earth worship already built into this Mayan rite. So you're going to see a total reverting to the ancient paganism in its various cultural and national forms all over the world, wherever there has been a Catholic hierarchy established. That Catholic hierarchy has been uprooted and replaced, or has been or is being uprooted and replaced with Bergoglian neo-pagan synodalists, and they are now replacing the Catholic Church with their new paganized counterfeit church. That's what's happening. Yeah. And there are some bishops, there are enough bishops in the world who are still Catholic, who see what's happening, and again, there will be, people will organize. There are many of these, especially bishops, do have organizational talents. And they know how to get people, like-minded people who want to defend the true Christian faith from this pagan onslaught.
Has to happen.
And that's what it is. And Catholics have to understand that what Bergoglio's agenda is a pagan onslaught against Christianity as such. They have to stop calling him the Holy Father, the Pope. He is the enemy of the papacy. And he's an enemy of the Church. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just thinking about this and hoping that something will come to pass. And if you need my help for anything, Father Kramer, I'm here to assist in any way I can. I want to do this. I want to help if I can. So keep that in mind. All right. Okay, thank you, Father Kramer. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks to all of you. Have a good weekend. Be careful out there. And try and do a little preparation. I'm telling you, you're going to need it. We'll be back on Monday.